Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online. Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 27th of Shawwal, 1446, corresponding with the 26th of April, 2025. And alhamdulillah, we have just finished our segment on the Yahud, the attitude and the character of the Yahud as described in the Holy Quran. We now begin with our next segment, which is called Straight Talk. And we have online our guest, who is Brother Ahmad Parak Hafizahullah, and he is a counselor in the city of Durban. And of course, he is also very involved in the kafan and dafan affairs. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Ahmad Parak.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners on a very beautiful Saturday morning after the heavy rains we had over the last 2 days. There's a lot of damages that have been done, but inshallah, Allah knows best. We needed the rain badly as well to fill up our dams as well. So Allah has blessed us. We've been fortunate in this province, especially to get a lot of rainfall.
Do we have any new developments, you know, considering the weather that we had regarding our kafan and dafan issues?
Mawlana, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, there was no incidents or anything was reported that we had to worry about. So alhamdulillah, we will do a follow up next week, inshallah. But for now, there is no matters that was any major accidents or anything did not take place. So alhamdulillah, Allah make it easy for everyone who is. That because of the last weekend was a long weekend, this weekend is a long weekend, then you've got another long weekend next week as well. So, you know, in 1 month, you've got 3 long weekends, you know. So I think maybe because of the holidays has been spread over 3 long weekends, it is the first time this has happened. So alhamdulillah, that's why I think the people have now decided which weekends they want to come. They didn't come, all of them didn't come together one time. So I think they spread that thing because of accommodations and everything else there as well, all of them.
Now, regarding our politics, the burning issue is VAT. You know, on Wednesday, people were so relieved when they heard that the court ruled against the 15% the VAT increase, whether it was 15 or 5. But then on Thursday, we read some bad news on the independent press where it stated the VAT increase will be scrapped with the National Treasury, confirming that the rate will remain at 15% from 1st May 2025. This follows weeks of consultation with political parties and a review of recommendations from parliamentary committees. Now, there were some people, you know, I received this through WhatsApp, and they're saying that, is that really, are we really relieved of that proposed increase? Because here, we are reading something and there seems to be some confusion.
All right. First and foremost, Maulana, the information is incorrect that the matter went before court during the week. First, there was no judgment or anything. The judgment was reserved. So it came before a bench of 3 judges. Both parties put the argument, the Treasury put the argument, the DA put the argument as well. So there was no clear judgment or anything. So whoever is claiming victory to say that they ran to court. This whole thing was orchestrated, and I make it very, very clear for all our listeners to understand what is actually happening in government, so people will understand why this VAT issue and pertaining to this VAT issue and what they wanted to do. Every year, there will be budget. Now, they'll have to find money to sustain the country wherever there's shortfall. The only other avenue was for shortfall, they worked on the VAT. In actual fact, DA mustn't be crying like babies now. They sit in that committee. They actually approved 2%. My party opposed it, the ANC and a whole lot of other parties disapproved. We said we don't want any VAT increases. Then we said the only remedy is to amend this thing here. Don't pass it now. Amend it till the 1st of May 2025 to go back, and the Treasury need to go and find the money. Now, DA didn't like what we did with a whole lot of other parties because we assisted the ruling party, the ANC, to find a solution. And we found a proper solution to go and look. The actual amount they were looking for was 128 billion was the shortfall, and has now come down to 75 billion. So the issue is, there is a huge shortfall. They have to go and look from other places to get that money in. So don't use VAT. So we were opposed the increase of VAT from day one. And we and a whole lot of other parties, we found the solution, and that's where we got today. Now, because of the DA didn't have its way, they ran to court. Now they want to show the whole country and the whole world that, you know what, we ran to court with EFF because EFF, DA, and MK, they wanted to destabilize the parliament and the national government. Why they wanted to do this? Why they wanted to destabilize the government? Well, for one reason. They wanted to get more seats in all and remove the ANC and the president so they can bring one of their cronies in there to run the country, and they'll get more seats. The DA especially had a whole plot behind this thing here. They can get more seats, and they can always work around the EFF and the MK. They can make them jump. Now, when this we got this news of this, we thought about this thing, and the ANC government came through to us and said, you know what, they're the plot here, which is the best way to come out of this whole thing, and we found a solution. So actually, we saved this country from a total chaos where the DA wanted to take power, and we should have been worse off than anything else. You can see all over the world what is happening when the Yahoos are running the country. They're only for themselves. They're not worried about anybody else, where they can make money and where they loot. What the ANC and in every metros and councils are stealing, if compared to what they do, is worse. I've seen it over and over. How they do it discreetly, but if there's 10 rand there, they will take 7 rand out, they will leave 3 rand. Unfortunately, with the other side, if there's 10 rand there, they will take their 10 rand and look for another 10 rand to steal. That's the problem. So that's how this whole government is. Fortunately, we must make dua that alhamdulillah, we save this country from a major dilemma where these three parties wanted to destabilize the government. So far as the issue is concerned, yes, we want to be 75 million short. They'll have to still go, Treasury will have to still go and look. There's a lot of, in all the departments, there's a lot of things they can cut down, and they can bring this money. You don't have to worry about the 75 billion. In no time, they will find this money because there is money in the government. Because if you take this country, I've got minerals, gold, now we even found oil. So everything we have got, we can be, this country don't need America, don't need anyone. We can be self-sufficient in this country. Like what Argentina did to America and told the whole world, when they barred them, they put a huge sanction on them. They stood on their own. Today is flourishing. Same thing we can do. Few other African countries also told America, we don't need you. We can survive. See what is the backlash happening in America at the moment. The truckers are actually want Trump out of government in America because there's no work. They're going bankrupt at the moment. That is the reason they're putting pressure on us and all that. And now we're falling into the trap of the Yahoo's and all. Fortunately, we picked this information early in terms of that. We are safe at the moment. We don't have to worry or anything like that. Well, there's no other country in the world like South Africa. Yeah, you can make money. You got right of religion, right of culture, right of everything you can do here in this country. You, Alhamdulillah, we got Ijtima in Joburg, started from yesterday. We can do things here. There's no problem. Go to other countries. By the time you get one department to sanction and anything to do with Deen, they'll put it under the bus. But yeah, we got the privilege to do whatever we want to do for us.
Alhamdulillah, may Allah Azza wa Jalla keep the situation like that for the Muslims, because even if you look at, you know, in my time, I think we were the last of the South Africans that studied in India, because after the 90s, you know, studying in India became difficult, and I finished in 1991. You find now in South Africa, in our Darul Ulooms, we got Palestinian students, we got North Africans, we got students from the Arab world that are actually studying in our Darul Ulooms. So Alhamdulillah, you know, South Africa is one of those Muslim minority countries where the Muslim enjoys more rights than those living in Muslim majority countries. Now, coming to our next issue is this prepaid meter activation delays. Now, there was an article in our tabloid speaking about 60,000 backlog of prepaid meter installations in the city. Now, this one person called Ghulam Rawat wrote a letter. On Victoria Embankment, the electricity department has already upgraded all old electricity meters to the new smart meters. In addition, each unit was issued a pin pad device by the appointed supervisor. The only step left for residents is to apply for the activation of the new prepaid meters. However, what should be a straightforward process has become unacceptably long and frustrating. The activation period can take up to 6 months, even in cases like ours, where the smart meter has already been installed and the pin pad is in hand. This delay is nothing short of shocking and highlights a severe lack of efficiency within the department. So the question he asked at the end, what possible justification can the electricity department have for such an extensive delay in activation, particularly when all infrastructure is already in place?
Molana, the figure that the journalist quoted here, Ghulam Rawat, is not 60,000, it's 300,000 meters we are waiting for. The issue of this meter, prepaid meter, is I got a very close friend work at Treasury at the city here in Durban as well, and the deputy head, I know him very on a personal basis. And you know, and I sit with the MPAC, so whatever I say on radio, Alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, everything is nothing but the truth. Everything. That's why this talk is a straight talk. We talk straight. What is right and right, and what is wrong is wrong. Firstly, there's 300,000 shortage of the meters for life, water, and electricity. The other issue is we put in new meters where he's saying 100%. Why is it taking so long? as we speak, every single weekend for the last two or three months now, they have got guys from India. You know, when it comes to the IT, the best in the world is from India. You get it. They are sitting there 24/7. They are putting a whole system together. Previously, we spent millions and millions of rand in a system that is now going to be going to the scrap. We can't do nothing because they didn't work it out properly. So this new system we are putting in at council level, you don't even have to send a guy to go get a reading. It will pick up the reading on our system. So they are working and they work day and night to get the system. Hopefully, I think, from my understanding was, before the end of May, that system would be up and running. So that's where we are at the moment. So there is lots of, Monana, this person is crying. He said, the whole building has been put up with the new meters. Why is it taking so long? That's the answer I've given, because the new system is coming into place. Once that thing comes, it will get activated automatically. There won't be any problem. Secondly, the most important thing, I had a lady yesterday from Amshlanga. She sold a property in Pinetown. Olana, I've ever seen somebody cry on the phone was yesterday. And you know, I felt so bad, and especially on the day of Jumma. She's telling me, Uncle Parak, please do whatever it takes. I need that rate clearance. How best you can help me? I tried everything yesterday. I got information. Yes, I managed to send the inspectors there to get the reading. Now, when you're selling a property, and she asked via her attorneys who was doing the purchase and sale agreement, she asked for the attorney asked the council for the rates clearance about 2 months ago. Now, whoever want to buy a house, they put the money, and in this case here, the purchaser put the money up front, cash. He got her bank to put the money into the account of the trust account, and now we're waiting 2 months. It does, you know, end of the day, they want to move into the new house. You know, if somebody buys the new house, what do? You all hyped up and saying, you know what, the family, what do the daughter want to do in this room, the son want to do in his room. They all hyped up to do whatever it is in that house. Now they're waiting and waiting. Now they can't wait anymore. They have now told the lawyer, straight Dowley, to say, you know what, cancel the agreement. I'll have to look for another one because, you know what, my children are also getting tired of waiting and all that because they were looking forward to going to this house, but no. So that's where the problem. So how many attorneys, my point is lots of attorneys, big properties, the sale cannot go through because of there is either there's no electricity meter or there's no water meter. Now, if you don't get, you cannot get a rate clearance if you haven't closed up everything. So when I sold my house to Monana, when he moved into that house, he doesn't want my back debt or anything. He comes there, he now taken it onto his name. It got registered in the deeds office. From day one, he moved in May. From there, he will have clean account, nothing to do with the previous owner or anything like that. That's what happens. So in this case here, there's nothing much can happen. The best we can say, we are there working 24/7. Once that system comes in, that will go into the new system. It will activate it very, very quickly. And we are waiting for meters. And that's where the big problem is. The problem is we cannot get meters, enough meters at our warehouses, at the city to go install. That's the problem at the moment. So the contractor who is making those meters cannot produce more than what he can produce now. So maybe they have now realized that there's a bigger backlog than what the press have picked up. You know, they only give you the short end of the story. They're not telling you the bigger picture, how many meters are short. So there's 300,000 meters short. I think now they wait to Plan B to get it the same meter from another supplier as well. That's where the problem is.
Actually, that was a resident of that area, Ghulam Rawat. It wasn't a journalist. It was letters to the editor. Anyway, we know about the president's working group. And there was a report on progress made. And one of the things that mentioned in the article on that report, a multi-stakeholder initiative aimed at reducing water consumption from 270 liters to under 220 liters per person per day. Now the question arises, this is what the municipality proposes. How does the municipality propose to monitor the consumption of each person?
Now that this is easy, Manana. What happens in a case like this? We buy our water from Tugela. Now Tugela is going to give us less water because of various reasons, because our pump stations are not 100% activated proper. At the moment, as we speak, if you go on the other side of Sikau, like I said the last time, that pump house should be ready by the end of next year. You must see it's a state-of-the-art pump house where on your phone you'll be able to read if there's a problem on any one of the pumps or anything like that. So now they're getting it. They're doing their utmost best for us reducing water. If my supplier is delivering me less, how do you expect me now to supply the consumers the same amount of water? So that is one of the issues. The big issue is from 270 to 220, yes, how they're going to monitor that? They'll reduce it from the pump house only, from our going into your systems and all that. So you want to get where your pressure, we close the valve from 100 to maybe bring it down to 70. So that obviously you want to get less water coming through your systems as well. So that is the other way. And now with the new smart meters, it's going to be much easier than the old meters and all that. So there's somehow the other from the together to Teguini, they are now going to reduce water from where you getting your water from. That's where the water will be short supply. But all said and done, well, if you're losing that 58% of the water, now that is our biggest problem. And that's where the president has got involved with the working committee here. And he said, you know what? We must, you know, we call a spade a spade. Things are happening. If you go into Manana, I don't know if you've seen, we started to sort of fix the road up. Electricity, only now and then you might have a disruption and they might tell you, okay, fine, we want to have for 2 days load shedding because of, you know, now they're improving the system, putting new cables and you know, all the big boxes in the city. There, some of them are outdated. That's where the problem is. So they're working on it. So they have got a team. They have got a task team from national to province, from province to the city, overseeing to this whole city to make sure that we get the service delivery. Now, to get service delivery, you have to have the right people, the right engineers. The main people to do anything in the city is making sure you have the right engineers. And now they have realized, you know what? The people that know the city backwards and who did this, especially the pump houses, the reservoir, all these were the whites and the top Indians who worked previously from the city. Now they are retired. Bring them as consultants and tell us exactly, draw the map, which is the best way. And that's where when they bring in the contractors, we're saving money too now, because they're telling us, no, don't dig here, dig here. This is where the issue is. And now it is taking progress. And Ramaphosa himself saying he can see the difference from 48% has gone to like 52 or 60% is coming there. But it will still take. Your water issue, people in the province must know, and the city is not going to be fixed now, 2026, 2027. it will go right up to 2032. Then only you'll be stabilized with your whole infrastructure in terms of your water problem.
Our next question, they speak about reducing unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure and improving audit outcomes. What is meant by fruitless and wasteful expenditure?
Now, Molana, when it comes to fruitless expenditure, now what happens in council? When they give you a contract, they gave contract to A and B construction. Now, A and B construction took that contract over 3 years, and they give you, they say, in that contract, you have to pay the 20% will be advanced, and then you will get on a progress basis how the work is taking progress. Now, you know, because for jobs prepared, an irregular, fruitful, wasteful expenditure comes into this effect. Now, what happens? They give it to Joe Block. Now, Joe Block is not a guy can do laying of proper pipes for the city or for the council, or he's not a fully fledged. But he's got a company. He is registered with Cipro. He's done that. He brought in a third party to come and assist him, and he doesn't know nicely to. And then they will take that money and they will subcontract it. Now, when you're subcontracting it, now where you're supposed to be, the rate supposed to be 1,000 rand an hour, now he's paying that guy 450 rand an hour. So that's where the subcontractor is doing not the proper work. And that's it. In the end, the subcontractor runs away. The construction will lay there for 3 to 4 months. Nothing has happened. And now we'll have to bring somebody else to come and finish that. That's where your issue will come with for fruitful, wasteful expenditure. And this is where my part, my committee is very, very hard. We're sending it back to that department. We want a full investigation. When that contract was given, who was the actual contract holder? Now we're bringing them in terms of the new legislation and new judgments and SCA judgment we have got at our hand, we're holding that the DM of that project held personally and the city manager held personally liable, because they should have a system where they're supposed to be checking up. There is no subcontractor. The contractor was done, due diligence was done on that contractor properly. So we're closing all that gap at the moment. So you'll find even national government, province and all, they are tearing the departments to pieces at the moment because of all this undue expenses we are wasting, untenful. All this money we're wasting. Millions and millions. It goes in some cases in billions of rand. And this is where we're closing the gap. And it's happening now at the moment. You know, we have now realized in the last 1 month where I sit in my committee, we send maybe about six departments. We bring in them before our impact. They must come and address to us, tell us exactly what happened. And then we bring CIIU there. And we bring the head of CEP. They sit in this committee, and if we find the slightest doubt there, we're not happy with it, then we're charging them. Now we have come to a stage we don't play anymore. We have to set an example to get our money's value for our money, because rate payers are paying a lot of money in the city to get service delivery, and if this is the way, take Essenwood Park here by the flea market, Mulana. The DA and the councillor said that fencing will cost 1.5 million. When we saw the invoice is 540,000. Now, how do you justify? Now, we're taking her to park with the party and the councillor and we tell through the ratepayers association, we're not going to play. We want to know where that money, and we want that money back into the city's coffers. This is where the problem is for us.
Okay, Jazakumullah for your valuable contribution this morning. You have, alhamdulillah, you know, given us valuable information about what is happening, particularly about that VAT issue that had everybody panicking. And inshallah, we will continue with our discussions in the coming week, next Saturday, inshallah. And during the course of the day, you will get your podcast. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.